Hi, everybody. Cheryl Akison here, and welcome to another edition of the Cheryl Akison Podcast. Today, a breakaway movement of esteemed medical professionals leaving establishment medicine where they built their careers for a new way that they hope solves America's health crises. Today, our information landscape is marred by propaganda and corruption, much of it influenced by the pharmaceutical, government, media complex. And there's evidence it's impacting our health in a major way. Since you're listening to this podcast, I know you're an independent thinker, and you're going to love hearing what I've learned about how it works, who's behind it, and what you can do. In my new book, Follow the Science, How Big Pharma Misleads, Obscures, and Prevails. You can order from the bookstore of your choice or at HarperCollins or Amazon. Look for Follow the Science by Cheryl Akison. The COVID experience transformed our medical institutions in ways that nobody likely would have predicted. Many doctors towed the company line, you might say, even when they thought the government or their company's guidance was mistaken. But untold thousands of medical professionals have broken away from their establishment where they built their careers. They're looking for a way to address America's health crises, some of them related to COVID and COVID vaccines, but also far beyond. Today, we're going to hear from Dr. Paul Merrick, co-founder of Frontline COVID Critical Care Alliance. Dr. Merrick was a professor of medicine and chair of pulmonary and critical care medicine at Eastern Virginia Medical School, and a doctor at Centara Norfolk General Hospital, world-renowned as one of the most published critical care physicians. But when COVID hit, as you'll hear, it changed the course of his career.
Yeah, so I'm South African. I did my medical training in South Africa. I then did critical care in South Africa. I then went and did a fellowship in critical care in London, Ontario, Canada. And then I came to the U.S. and followed an academic career for 25 years. I practiced in the ICU. I was a tenured professor of medicine. And then obviously COVID came around and things changed. So I had to resign from that position. And now
because?
The bottom line was, it's a long story, but the short version is that I developed a protocol for the treatment of the hospitalized patients with COVID. And it didn't go against, it went against the narrative of the National Institute of Health and whatever. And so my results were at least twice as good as everyone else's result. But I was using off-label drugs and I wasn't following the narrative. So they stopped me. They actually stopped me, prohibited me treating my patients the way I wanted to treat my patients.
Who's they?
They was the healthcare system, which was Centara Healthcare System in Norfolk, Virginia. So they actually prohibited me prescribing off-label drugs to treat my patients. And so it put me in a difficult position. What was I to do? So my lawyer said, well, just go to work and just document what happened. So the following week, I went to work. I had 7 COVID patients in the ICU, and 7 patients died because I wasn't allowed to treat them the way I wanted to treat them, which is my right as a treating physician.
What was the easy version, the main difference between what they wanted you to do and what you wanted to do?
Yeah, so they basically outlawed all the drugs that I was using. I was using corticosteroids, vitamin C, a whole bunch of other drugs. The ivermectin, they wouldn't allow me from the beginning. And basically, I was forced to use remdesivir, which we know is a toxic drug. And so I refused. So basically, I couldn't treat my patients.
So you left that job, and then what?
So then I had no option. Things got pretty ugly, and so I had to leave. And then that's when I started the FLCCC with Peer. That's how it started. When the pandemic broke out, the guidance from the NIH was there's no treatment. there's no treatment for COVID, you're just supportive care, which is an absurdity because, you know, doctors will treat patients. There's no disease you can't treat. So we came up with a protocol to treat patients in the ICU, which proved to be very successful. You know, we were the first to suggest using corticosteroids, and we were laughed at. You know, 6 months down the line, a big study came out showing corticosteroids saved lives in hospitalized patients with COVID. We used anticoagulation because we knew it was a clotting disease. So, you know, we came up with a protocol to treat the hospitalized patients with COVID, and it proved to be effective. So that's how we started the FLCCC. And so once, you know, I was forced to leave, you know, I continued doing the work with the FLCCC.
So this organization today, its purpose is what?
So it's evolved. You know, when we started, it was initially treatment of the hospitalized patients with COVID. Then we realized that to make an impact, we needed to treat patients early, that the goal was to prevent them getting to hospital and landing in the ICU. So we developed protocols for the early treatment of COVID. And that's where the ivermectin came in, and that's where we hit our first roadblock. We then developed protocols for preventing COVID. And then obviously with influenza and RSV, we added that to our preventative program. So that was our initial focus. But, you know, COVID shone a very bright light on the corruption of the system, how the system is controlled by Big Pharma. So I then developed a protocol for the treatment of diabetes. Partly was self-motivated because I was a type 2 diabetic. And so the traditional narrative is that diabetes is a progressive disease. It's treated with medication. You're going to get complications. You're going to lose your legs, et cetera, et cetera. And that's a false narrative. And so diabetes is a treatable disease with lifestyle changes as well as other interventions. So that's what I did. And I'm no longer type 2 diabetic. And so that started us on a new journey in which our goal now is to empower patients to improve their own health and the treatment of chronic disease. And so that's really what we're now focusing on. Well, you know, COVID is still a big problem, and the vaccine injured is a very big problem. But, you know, our focus now is on patient empowerment, empowering patients to take charge of their own health. You know, patients should, you know, have conversations with their physicians. They're the ones that should be directing their care, and they should have a conversation with their healthcare providers, and they should be on the same page and negotiate a plan. And so that's what our goal is to empower patients, trying to restore the patient-physician relationship.
Do you do that by reaching the doctors or directly the patients or both?
Both.
Because I'm not clear whether, for example, the website is designed for ordinary people to visit or for doctors to visit.
Both. So I think you ask a good question. So, you know, it's easier to get to patients because, you know, they obviously are the ones that need the help. So we provide information for patients which they can educate themselves. There are things that they can do personally, and they can take this information to their physicians. Ideally, we would also like to empower physicians. So there are many physicians who are part of our, you know, extended family of providers. You know, unfortunately, though, most healthcare providers in this country follow the narrative, they believe the narrative, and it's quite difficult to convince them that they're going down the wrong path. But clearly, you know, our focus is to restore the patient-physician relationship and empower both providers and patients to improve their quality of their life, very simple lifestyle interventions that are very effective. But obviously, it goes against the pharmaceutical narrative.
What is the purpose of the conferences, and can you tell me about the last 3 years of these conferences?
Yeah, so the conference just came out as an idea. You know, this is a way We can network with people and interact with people. And it's been a remarkable success. And I think the biggest success is that it becomes a community of like-minded people. So people feel very much at home. They feel very comfortable speaking with people here. There's this bond that they have because these are like-minded people who think the same. And so it's become like a community. And so this is our third conference. You know, each one is a little bit bigger. And it seems like it's become a movement that, you know, people trust us and believe in what we're doing and become followers. And, you know, they are our warriors who are spreading the message.
What do you see in the near-term future for medicine with the development of this organization where doctors and patients can come who saw what they thought were a lot of problems in the handling of COVID? There will be more viruses and diseases and outbreaks. What do you see happening in the near future?
So that's a good question. I think there's no question of doubt that the current healthcare system has failed. It's just not functioning. Hospitals have become dangerous places for sick people, and the current healthcare system is broken. And so we need an alternative. And so, you know, we're one of many organizations that I think can provide a solution, an answer to this ongoing failure of the healthcare system. And so going forward, you know, we will, whatever comes our way, we will deal with. You know, we're based on science, on trust, and, you know, deep caring of patients, you know, following the Hippocratic principle.
Introducing Whipped Seafoam Body Butter by Sirenae Cosmetics. Hi, I'm Star, owner of the Lemonade Mermaid. Enriched with the nourishing powers of cocoa butter, mango butter, and shea butter, our body butter whisks you away to a world of deep hydration. Experience the essence of the sea with every application as this whipped delight leaves your skin refreshed, replenished, and ready to conquer the day. Visit thelemonademermaid.com and make your skin sing with the magic of the sea.
More on COVID-related controversies and what's happening to medicine since on my Full Measure episode Sunday, April 7th. So I hope you'll keep your eye out for that. We'll also be talking about clots that are showing up in cadavers around the world. And I'll have follow-up interviews with Drs. Jordan Vaughn and Pierre Corey, two important treating physicians on the front line of looking at these illnesses that linger after COVID and after COVID vaccines, which they say are due to the spike protein that's in COVID and that's manufactured with the COVID vaccines. I hope you enjoyed today's podcast and that if you did, you'll leave a great review, subscribe to it, and share it with your friends. Be sure to check out my other podcast, Full Measure After Hours. And now you can support independent journalism causes by visiting CherylAckison.com and clicking the store tab for some thought-provoking and fun products designed exclusively for independent and free thinkers like you, with proceeds benefiting independent reporting causes. Some of the slogans you'll find on products there are, do your own research, make up your own mind, think for yourself, and I need to find some new conspiracy theories, all my old ones came true. In this age of a highly controlled media landscape, it's never been more important to fight the heavy hand of censorship and support truly independent journalism. Go to CherylAckison.com and click on the store tab for a great way to do that. There are all kinds of fun and functional products designed specifically for independent and free thinkers like you, featuring slogans like, I tested positive for critical thinking, and I need to find some new conspiracy theories, all my old ones came true. Proceeds support independent journalism causes like the ION Awards for off-narrative accurate reporting. Go to CherylAckison.com and click the store tab today.